Bring the music down just about 30 decibels. Welcome to tonight's program. Hi, my name is Mike Malloy. You know, after the 36 years of service to the Republican Party, that's what it used to be called now, it's called the Death Party, but after 36, I think it's 36 years of service, when Spector said goodbye today, the best he could get was Mitch McConnell saying Spector was a threat to the country. Oh, Jesus. Well, I guess that's not a literal quote. McConnell, leader of a party that is now even smaller, suggested that Spector's defection endangered not just the party, but the entire country. Oh, really? What, one man switching parties? Right. This from Mitch McConnell, this weird, strange senator from Kentucky who chews his own epiglottis when he talks. I don't know how he does that, but he does it. This guy is saying that, you know, he's got about 300 things he could pick from. Over the last 8 years prior to the Obama administration occurring that could be an endangerment to the entire country. But the switching of Phil Spector, good God, the switching of Arlen Spector from one party to another is not one of them, Mitch. Honest to God, you need to leave those horses alone. I swear to God you do. Man, man. McConnell said, I think the threat to the country presented by this defection really relates to the issue of whether or not the United States of America, our people, want the majority to have whatever it wants without restraint, without a check or a balance. Isn't that what we've had for the past 8 years, for Christ's sake? Obviously, we're not happy that Senator Spector's decided to become a Democrat. If we are not successful in Minnesota, Democrats, at least on paper, will have 60 votes. Mitch, you have not been successful in Minnesota, you freak. You lost. It happens to be in the courts because the former senator from Minnesota is not manly enough to accept his defeat.
I think the danger of that for the country is that there won't automatically be an ability to restrain the excess that is typically associated with big majorities and single party rule.
The excess? Are you referring once again to the past 8 years, Mitch? Isn't this amazing? Don't these guys just, I mean, now it's becoming comedy. Because they have done so much damage, even if they were still able to interest more than 22% of the American public, there's not much more damage they can do. So since the Republican Party is a party that is, in fact, being murdered, per my suggestion of several months ago, it is being taken to the field and beheaded. It is having its hands tied behind its back, a cigarette pushed into its mouth, and the rifle shots ring out. It is. And since that is the case, does anybody care anymore? But it's become comedy. Not even dark comedy. You can't make parody of something like the Republican Party. It can't be done. Saturday Night Live, the best comedy troupes in America, cannot parody the Republican Party. Can't be done. They can still parody the brown shirts who infest media, the Republican brown ships, brown shirts, but certainly not the Republican Party. Texas Republican John Cornyn, Senator Cornyn, who, well, what to say about old John? I don't know what to say. He does remind me of Wyatt Earp. He really does. But he said that voters in 2010 will have the choice between what he calls potentially unbridled Democrat supermajority versus the system of checks and balances that Americans deserve. What? Checks and balances? You rat son of a bitch, you. Oh, my God. The past 8 years, I mean, the Democrats couldn't say honey with a mouthful of it. Oh, Lord have mercy. The Republicans did just said, a matter of fact, the Republicans were so stinkingly unequipped to govern. They turned it all over to what's his name? Dick Cheney and Karl Rove. And now Cornball is standing up there saying, a choice between potentially unbridled Democratic supermajority versus the system of checks and balances the Americans, what, have come to love and respect, Cornyn? Now, the National Republican Senatorial Committee said good riddance to a man who has given them. See, this is way Republicans are. This is what I've been talking about on this little tiny radio program for the past, what, 20 years? Republicans don't give a goddamn if you live or die. Not even people who have devoted 36 years of their lives to the Republican agenda. Republicans would step over their choking mothers if it meant they could come up with a tax cut later on in the day. They are swine. They're swine. But the National Republican Senatorial Committee said, good riddance. Instead of bashing poor old cancer and remission Arlen Specter for giving the Democrats what the Senate committee calls a blank check. They're discussing. Somebody told me that the pig man today on his program said, well, good riddance, and he ought to take John McCain with him. You slimy lard ass. As though people care what you say anymore. This is what the National Republican Senatorial Committee said. Today, Arlen Specter switched his party affiliation to the Democrat Party. What is the Democrat Party? Oh, that's right. That's supposed to be, that's their schoolyard bully boy way of saying Democratic Party. Democrat Party. I hope you will join me, this memo says, in saying good riddance. Wow. Don't give the Democrats a blank check. Support the NRCC. While today's party switch underscores how well Specter will fit in with his new Democrat colleagues, this act of political self-interest comes at a very serious cost. If Democrats succeed in stealing the election in Minnesota, oh, you whiny-ass, miserable little bastards, they'll have a filibuster-proof majority in the Senate. This would amount to a blank check for Democrats to continue spending trillions of your tax dollars with zero accountability. Goddamn Arlen Specter. This supposedly was a concern for Specter when last month he said, I'm staying a Republican because I think I have an important role. Important role to play there. The United States very desperately needs a two-party system. That's the basis of politics in America. I'm afraid we're becoming a one-party system. I think as a government matter, it's very important to have a check and balance. End quote. The memo The Good Riddance memo went on to say, but like his principles, I guess this no longer applies. Don't give Democrats a blank check. Support the NRCC. It says that, repeats that over and over and over again. It's like, look into my eyes. Don't give Democrats a blank check. Support the NRCC. Don't give Democrats a blank check. Subscribe to Malloy's podcast. Oh, my God. All right, we're going to have Specter in his own words when we come back. But isn't this so typically Republican, after all those years of service, screw you, Arlen!
Yeah, right. Your brother's keep just don't apply, because it's everybody for himself. Jesus came in glory, and in glory he shall return. The preacher said, in God we trust, ye Democrats shall burn. No butterflies, no hanging chads.
Time to practice your synchronized screaming. It's Mike Malloy.
Past the hour. Yeah, Sue at Head On Radio Network emails in and says, you know, Mike, here's the thing that really gets me about the neocons pissing their pants over Specter. They keep going on about our system needing the checks and balances of a two-party system. System going on and on and on about single-party rule. How come we never heard them bemoan such things when they were clamoring for their permanent Republican majority throughout the 90s? Bunch of freaks. Yeah, you're right, Sue. Yeah, remember that? I don't think that these Republicans, especially the leadership, I don't think they have a clue sometimes what they're saying. That what they're saying is in direct opposition to what they've been doing ever since 1994. For 15 years. Using every single parliamentary trick or Senate trick or House trick to stop any kind of compromise. You know, the head of the Republican Party, the real head, the pig man, Rush Limbaugh, sees compromise as a date rape. So does the slime ball. What's his name? Don't email it to me. I really don't care. It doesn't matter. But Republicans are about as interested in compromise or working across the aisle as they are interested in gargling razor blades. This is such a joke. Every time their asses are kicked further up around their shoulders, they start the same whine. Ow, it's going to be one party rule. Ow. Really? Well, here's the fact, a salient fact. It doesn't make a hell of a lot of difference, does it, truth seeker, which party is in absolute power? Oh, yes, around the margins it does. Yes, indeed. I'm not one of these people who says there is absolutely no difference between these two parties. There is a lot of difference between these two parties and what their goals and definitions and objectives are. However, there are also some critical similarities. They are both parties of corporate America. They are both parties that refuse utterly and absolutely to democratically socialize those parts of the American economy that need to be democratically socialized. They are both the parties of war and weaponry and armaments and continuing to throw what little bit of I almost said what little bit of treasure we have left. We don't have any left. Into this giant maw of death and destruction. On that level, both the parties are exactly the same. But there is still a tickle in the bottom of my stomach every time I see another Republican leave the fold of these demonized bastards and switch over to the Democratic Party. There's just something almost orgasmic about it. You know what I'm saying? Especially when people like John Cornyn and Mitch McConnell and Kyle and the rest of these people come out standing there, like I said today in my mini blog, like so many white guys waiting for the slave auction to begin in, Meridian, Mississippi 200 years ago. It is that gives me the highest level of thrill. we're concerned politics. I mean, come on. So I love to see the whining and the whimpering and the catcalls and the ugliness that Republicans are so adept at providing. And really, when you get down to it, when you listen to these people, when you listen to Republicans, When I listen to Democrats, I hear a corporatist party that still has a bit of interest in the polls, but is gradually shifting over to becoming the dominant corporatist party, probably for the foreseeable future. That's why we need a liberal party. When I listen to the Republicans, though, I'm constantly reminded of a little whiny ass middle schoolers. No offense to middle schoolers if you're listening, but you know there's some of your classmates can be real whiny asses, especially, "Oh, she doesn't like him anymore. Oh, I hate you. I hate you. I hate you. Oh, look at his pants. Oh my God. Can you believe this guy? Ow, we're not going to have him sit with us at lunch." You know, that kind of crap. That's the Republican Party. So witnessing all of this today and kind of catching it here and there on Sirius's CNN broadcast, and then catching little bits and pieces on CNN and MSNBC, it was just, I don't know, it was a good day. Harlan Specter's words in his own voice when we come back.
Hey, don't worry about what makes you cry. Your child's in her right. How they gonna die? Gasoline's in short supply. ExxonMobil is barely getting by. With millions in profits, it's just another lie. Hey, don't it make you red state? Hey, don't it make you red state? Hey, don't it make you red state blue?
Border to border and coast to coast, The Mike Malloy Show, all substance, no abuse.
It's 26 before the hour. Okay, the Democratic Senator from Pennsylvania, Arlen Specter, held a press conference today. And in this first one, he explains why he decided to pull a Jim Jeffords and switch parties, much to the shock and the consternation of his former GOP colleagues. He says, as the Republican Party.
Republican Party has moved farther and farther to the right. I have found myself increasingly at odds with the Republican philosophy and more in line with the philosophy of the Democratic Party. When the stimulus package came up for a vote, I felt that it was indispensable to vote aye in order to avoid the possibility of a 1929-type depression. In the course of the last several months since the stimulus vote, I have traveled the state, surveyed the sentiments of the Republican Party in Pennsylvania, done public opinion polls, observed other public opinion polls, and have found that the prospects for winning a Republican primary are bleak. I am not prepared to have my 29-year record in the United States Senate decided by the Pennsylvania Republican primary electorate.
He went on to say not prepared to have that record decided by that jury, the Pennsylvania Republican primary electorate. And you understand what he's saying there. This is where his former colleagues, these slime-filled hate balls called Limbots, they're picking up on this. They're saying, well, it's because he thought he would be defeated. Sure he did. Defeated by some mouth-breathing, screaming, ultra-right-wing neo-Nazi Republican who would energize the remaining base in Pennsylvania of psychopathic Christers who would try to dump Specter in the primary. And then, of course, come the general election, a Democrat would win anyway. So since that's the case, Arlen Specter's action today is proof positive of what Bob Dylan said. You don't need to be a weatherman to know which way the wind is blowing. Of course not. The Democratic Party picked up over 200,000 switcheroo votes in Pennsylvania last election. And that's because the people in Pennsylvania have had enough of this. They've had enough of the neo-Nazis. So who's to blame Arlen Specter for sticking his finger in the wind and noticing that it's getting cool on the left side of his finger? And he says, well, guess what? I'm a Democrat. Always have been, always will be. Well, that's not exactly what he said, but good Lord. He continues to explain his decision, noting that he's had a long-standing break anyway with the rest of the Republican Congress over the stem cell funding issue. This is something that's very important to him for obvious reasons that are personal. And I think for obvious reasons that are personal for everybody in this country.
I do not undertake this because of the absence of other challenging or interesting things that I could undertake outside the Senate. But I do this because there are many projects that I want to move ahead for Pennsylvania with my continuing seniority in the United States Senate. And one of the key interests I have is medical research and want to continue my work in that field. I think it is fair and accurate to say that the increases in funding for the National Institutes of Health, which I have spearheaded, have saved or prolonged many lives, including my own. One item that I want to emphasize that I will not be changing my own personal independence or my own approach to individual issues. I will not be an automatic 60th vote. I note that some of the news stories since my statement was released this morning are taking a look at the 60th vote. And I will not be an automatic 60th vote.
Well, you know, everybody who has a rational mind, Senator, understands that. It's your former colleagues, led by the pig trash that is on radio and television from the right wing, who are saying that that is not the case. Arlen then took some questions from the press. Reporter asked him why he felt the Republican Party had left him, so to speak. What made him decide that he and this current crop of Republican lawmakers weren't on the same side anymore? He answered that the Republicans didn't want or didn't rally to Wayne Gilchrist in Maryland. He was beaten by the Club for Growth on the far right. He's citing one example here. And then the Republican lost the general election.
Republicans didn't rally to Wayne Gilchrist in Maryland. was beaten by the Club for Growth on the far right. They lost the general election. Republicans didn't rally to the banner of Joe Schwartz in Michigan. And he was beaten by a conservative in the Club for Growth. They lost the general election. Republicans didn't rally to Heather Wilson in New Mexico last year, and she was beaten in a primary and lost in the general election. The Club for Growth challenged Link Chafee. Remember Link Chafee? They made him spend all his money in the primary, and he lost the general. And had Link Chafee been elected in 2006, the Republicans would have controlled the Senate in 2007 and 8. And I would have been chairman of a committee. And President Bush nominated 13 circuit judges. They were all left on the table for President Obama. And President Bush nominated 21 district court judges, and they were all left on the table for President Obama. Now take the social conservatives in America and how they prize circuit judges. Remember what we went through for Judge Southwick last year to get a circuit judge confirmed? And one of my opponent's principal advisors said, we don't care about stage two. Stage one, we want to beat Arlen Specter. We'll worry about stage two later. They don't make any bones about their willingness to lose the general election if they can purify the party. I don't understand it, but that's what they say. And for the people who are Republicans to sit by and allow them to continue to dominate the party after they beat Chafee, cost us Republican control of the Senate, and cost us 34 federal judges, there ought to be a rebellion.
Wait a minute, Arlen. Wait a minute. What are you saying there, dude? Now, one of the reasons we're letting these sound clips go on so long is so you can hear most of what he had to say. In this particular one, he seems to bemoan the fact that because Lincoln Chafee was defeated in the primary last senatorial election, because Chafee was defeated, and a Democrat took his seat, of course, in the general election, that seems to have rankled Arlen Specter, because Arlen is saying, well, you know what happened then. We have 13 circuit judges, 21 district judges, and they're all left on the table, and it cost me the chairmanship of the committee. And, you know, if I were a cussing man like Mike Malloy, I'd say, God damn, what's wrong here? You know, he says he doesn't understand what they did, you know, purifying the party. It's not purifying the party, Senator Specter, because nobody in America really gives a damn about the Republican Party. Oh, the 21% hardcore snake handlers will always be there. You know, the ones that throw their arms up in church and expect Jesus to send down a magic rope and yank them up. They will always be there. But the Republican Party is a zombie. It is dead. Karl Rove's permanent majority isn't and never shall be. So Arlen is just doing the Republican thing. You know, he's just saying, I think I ought to get out of here. I'm not going to be the 60th nothing, but, I mean, like Mike Malloy says, son of a bitch, what's going on here?
Stack.
Mike Malloy.
All this buzzing and fighting, man, you know I sure can't stay. Now, baby, I can leave the truck, you know.
It's about 10 before the hour. All right, so Kyra Phillips at CNN sent out her bloodhounds and went after RNC Chairman Michael Steele to get his reaction to the Specter decision today.
How is this going to impact the Republican Party?
Well, it has a big impact. There's no doubt about it. I mean, certainly in the Senate, this puts the Democrats one step closer to 60 votes, which is a huge problem, not for the party per se, but for the country, to give one party control absolutely without the appropriate checks and balance in the Senate is problematic. So I think the senator contributing to that speaks volumes for me. And, you know, and the fact that he would say that, you know, President Obama's spending package, you know, the $780 billion in the stimulus and the budget made him realize he's a Democrat. Well, if spending the hard-earned dollars of the American people and redistributing their wealth and moving towards a collectivist socialist approach to government, if that helps you realize you're a Democrat, then, you know, good riddance.
Whoa! Talk some trash there, Michael! To give one party control absolutely without the appropriate checks and balances in the Senate is problematic. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You neocons and you too, Uncle Michael, are so concerned with checks and balances on power, aren't you? Just ask Bush and Cheney. You worked so hard to check that monster's power, didn't you? Oh, you tweegy little hypocrite, you. And at the very end when he says good riddance, wow, way to be bipartisan, huh? Nice sentiment for an almost 80-year-old lawmaker who's been serving this country since you were shooting spitballs or racking balls in a pool hall, you freak. Oh, my God. Not that I have any. Well, Specter has been right on a woman's right to privacy. He's been right on education. He's been right on science and research. And the unions have been giving him a pretty good working over in Pennsylvania, so look for him to come out for the Free Choice Act. You know, is he a corporate politician? Oh, Jesus God, who isn't? Not that that justifies it. But, you know, if those of us who see these two parties, one being the corporate party, the other one being the neo-Nazi party, and if we don't like it, why aren't we organizing a liberal party? Well, I know. Maybe when Al Franken gets there, right? Kyra Phillips then tossed the questioning to reporter Gloria Borger, who asked Steele, Mr. Chairman, I guess the question is, could you have stopped Arlen Specter from leaving the party if you had said to him, for example, we're not going to have a Republican primary challenger to you. You're well known in the state. You might have a shot at getting elected in a state that's becoming more Democratic. Why didn't you clear the field for him, Mr. Steele, to keep him from switching parties if you say he's just doing this out of political survival?
Senator Cornyn went out on the line for this man. And for the senator to effectively flip the bird back to Senator Cornyn and the Republican Senate leadership, the team that has stood by
God.
Him, who went to the bat for him in 2004 to save his hide, to me is not only disrespectful, it's just downright rude. I'm sure his mama didn't raise him that way,
and
it's a shame that he's behaving this way today.
Did he give you a heads up on this?
No, not at all, which is another form of disrespect that I don't countenance. I mean, you know, at least give me a call or give the party leadership a call and let us know this is what I'm thinking, this is where I'm going, so that, you know, you can be prepared. Now, you know, I'm not one to be caught flat-footed about these things.
Right.
You know, you get on your toes and you respond as quickly as you can.
Yeah.
But again, I think it shows a lack of respect for a party that he has pushed to the edge in terms of his votes and in terms of his the arguments he's made in support of this administration. And I think that right now he is where he belongs. And if the Democrats don't beat him in the primary, we'll take care of him come the general.
Oh, Michael. Oh, you make me so hot when you talk like that. Woo! Oh, flip the bird to Senator Cornyn. Oh, Michael, you street-talking sucker, you. And his mama didn't raise him that way. Oh, my, 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 my. We're going to have to sit down and have us a big old slice of rhubarb pie. Aren't we, Michael? Ah! Now, you know, he says, I'm not one to be caught flat-footed about these things. Flat-footed? You freak! Don't you understand why you're the head of the Republican National Committee? Hasn't that sunk in yet? Oh, poor old Michael. Michael's out there talking some stuff. He gave Limbaugh a call before he had this little back and forth with Kyra Phillips. You know, he got on the phone to Limbaugh. Limbaugh wasn't on the air yet. Rush! Master Rush, what do I say? What do I say about this? Help me out here, bro. Come on. Help me out. Oh, and by the way, Rush, I really do apologize for what I said about the, when was that? A couple of months ago? God, it seems like yesterday. I'm really sorry. Listen, Brother Rush, what do I say about this? Tell me, what do I say? What do I say? Quick.
Well, here's what you say. Go out there and say you don't like to, you're not caught flat-footed about these things. You get on your toes and you respond as quickly as you can. And throw in something about flipping the bird and how it's rude. And, you know, sure your mama didn't raise him that way.
And poor old Michael Steele, when he finishes that phone call with Rush, you know, he almost reverts to form, but catches himself at the last minute and says, listen, Rush, thank you very much. I really appreciate your leadership. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Remember when this crazed mountain man from Georgia, Senator Zell Miller, who was appointed senator, by the way, from Georgia, remember when he switched parties? Well, he never really switched parties. He just all of a sudden... Zell is your typical blowhard politician. He had no courage, none whatsoever. So he stayed a Democrat till he got out of, in politics. But, you know, he showed up at Republican National Conventions and, busting up a Republican. I can't mock him. I can't imitate his voice because I could never understand what the hell he was talking about. Especially toward the end of his, political career. It always sounded like he had a mouthful of granite. but the reaction from the Republicans to Specter, is just, I hope, I know the 21% of Americans who still follow and will always follow the Republican Party, even into the bowels of hell, which is specifically where it's going, they will miss this. But I hope people who used to be Republicans and who are now declared independents or have switched for a while to the Democratic Party or have just dropped out of the system altogether, which is certainly understandable, if these people would just take a look, pay attention now to what the Republican Party leadership is saying about a man who has spent the better than half of his life, almost half of his life working for the Republican Party and his own political career, of course, but doing so within the political party. He makes a decision, and all of a sudden they're on him like a duck on a June bug, aren't they? I mean, just going to peck him to death. Now, this brings up the issue of Joe Lieberman. Sue writes in, do you think the Republicans are going to be successful wooing Lieberman over to their side with all kinds of perks now? They are beyond belief. And we have to get a lot tougher and smarter about our strategies, the Democratic strategies. What do they mean, checks and balances? They spit on checks and balances. Cheney even decided that he wasn't part of the government and never had to adhere to any rules. Hasn't he even ignored grand jury summons? Well, actually, not a grand jury, but committees I don't know. Maybe he has, Sue. Who knows? But that's why their entire argument is so devoid of anything even in the same county as being factual. But now we'll see what Holy Joe is going to do. Holy Joe Lieberman, who had his ass handed to him in the Democratic primary in Connecticut, and then decided he would run as an independent, and all the Republicans voted for him and just murdered the Republican candidate, politically speaking. So maybe the Republicans now will reward Lieberman, who, you know, with Lieberman, McCain, and who's the guy from South Carolina, Kathy? Lindsey Graham. They're like, I don't know, they're like the Three Stooges. I think they think they're the Three Musketeers, but they're like the Three Stooges. You never see one without the other. What do they do? Do they go to the urinal together? Here, I'll hold it for you, Senator. Oh, thank you, Senator. No problem, Senator. Here, can I hold yours too? Yeah, okay, thank you, Senator. No, oh, no, let me do it. No, here, come here over here. Oh, here, I'll hold yours too. Hey, is that what they, hey, you're circumcised. What is with these three? McCain and Lieberman and, what's the other guy? Lindsey Graham? I thought he was part of, Fleetwood Mac. Oh, that's Lindsey Buckingham. I'm sorry. Lindsey Graham. And Lieberman, and do they, you know, they make their trips together, they go on vacations together, they go to Iraq together, they get out on the campaign trail together. So look for Lieberman now to declare himself within the next few days. Well, I had a conversation with Hadassah, and, I need a laxative. I had a conversation with Hadassah, and, I guess it's time that I just go ahead and become a Republican. Anybody want to buy any Israel bonds here? I've still got some. I know they're old, but Jesus. What a freak show. Spike in Pennsylvania writes, Mike, I'd like to say, while I have had issues with Spectre over time, overall, I'm a fan. Yes, he's way too hawkish. Yes, I disagree on the Free Choice Act with him. That's the labor voting thing. But he has been a champion for public education, a woman's right to privacy, while the Democratic governor, Casey, is he the governor? Not so. Spectre does what large numbers of Pennsylvania voters say. He was never like Rick Santorum and ignored opponents. We have always had a voice in numbers with him. All politics is local, and Snarlin' Arlin has always done Pennsylvania well. The unions have been through the roof with lobbying Arlin on free choice. Don't be shocked to hear Arlin is for the bill come June. Spike in PA. Yeah. And last thing, this is from Steve in Cotati, California. Mike, the corporate media take on Al Franken's lead, quote, in the Minnesota Senate race raised my eyebrow. CNN quotes regarding the Senate race, or the Senate, quote, they can reach the 60-seat mark if Al Franken holds his current lead in the disputed Minnesota Senate race, end quote. Well, the last time I checked, Steve writes, Al had been declared the winner by the court only to be denied certification by a Republican governor. CNN conveniently left out that detail, perhaps knowing the dumbed-down media consumer will think a winner hasn't been declared. Why am I not surprised? Steve, Yeah, the way Franken is, you know, I don't care for Al Franken that much, not at all. But he won the election, and he is another corporate Democrat who is progressive around the edges. Well, with Franken, it's way around the edges. But I don't know. To hell with Al Franken. I just think that it's kind of slimy once again on the part of the Republicans that they keep pushing and pushing and pushing this miserable little bastard that Franken finally beat to continue his legal struggle. You know, I guess they're hoping to get it to the U.S. Supreme Court and pull a George W. Bush. Norm, why don't you just sit down and shut up? Go on back to selling used cars and forget about it. Good God. Prairie 2. Kind of lost him in the shuffle lately. Have you been to his website? Prairie2.com. Prairienumeral2.com. This is what he has to say today. Things that don't work with flu. World markets slumped today as fears increased about the spread of pandemic flu. The World Health Organization issued a statement saying that travel bans don't work. Also from the list of things that don't work, antiviral drugs turned out to be totally useless against the Asian bird flu that's very similar to the current strain. Since the reports appeared in the media immediately that it does work against this strain and such information could not possibly be available from Mexico, you should assume it to be no more than corporate hype. There's also a problem with counting on a vaccine. There was an in-depth study published by the British medical journal Lancet that called into question the effectiveness of flu vaccines. It seems no study that these researchers would characterize as scientifically sound has ever been done on flu vaccines, and the death rate each year moves up and down completely independent of the number of people vaccinated. The Bush crime family response to the study was to authorize vaccine for younger patients and boost the PR budget. No new studies were funded. Not all viruses respond to vaccination. While it sounds like it should work, why have they never done a study to prove it? Well, I don't know, Prairie 2. We have more from Prairie 2 here after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
I would walk 10 miles on my hands and knees. Ain't no doubt about it, baby, it's you I am the beast. I wrestle with a lion and a grizzly bear. It's my life, baby, but I don't care. Ain't that tough enough?
Flying Monkey Free Fun and Frivolity with Mike Malloy.
Who made me judge and jury here? It seems I'm buried
wet. 21 past the hour. Back to what Prairie 2 was saying here. Mexico City is considering a total shutdown in order to keep the outbreak from mushrooming beyond their ability to deal with it. This may be the only effective course of action, but this requires a level of control that would be nearly impossible to maintain. There are stories from 1918 about towns that attempted to shut themselves off from outside contact and were defeated by things like the mailman coming in. The flu virus is capable of living 72 hours on a dry surface in cool weather. It would probably take a total quarantine of 3 weeks, and most people don't have the canned goods to last that long. Not to mention the problems with other services. Proper training and preparedness would have made this possible, but after 8 years of the Bush crime family, we're screwed. Oh, and go to his website, prairie2.com, and you can vote on which type of horror movie we're now living in, from Stephen King to Monty Python. Check it out. And last thing from Prairie 2 here, it's kind of a postscript to this one. He writes regarding the bank savings interest rates are lower than a conservative's belly in a wagon rut. He writes, you would think that with the banks unable to lend much money because of liquidity problems, that they would want to attract deposits. For every dollar a bank has on deposit, the Federal Reserve will print up $10 to lend the bank at an interest rate that is today about zero. Instead, the banks are paying as little as 0.05% on savings accounts, effectively a zero return. That's like half of 1%. Is that what that is? This should have the Obama administration concerned. One of the reasons we got in this mess was that people couldn't get a decent return on savings and went looking for other things to invest in. Uh-oh. Things that turned out to be just a series of big bubbles that inflated the economy. This hid the fact that since we didn't make anything anymore, this also gave the Chinese the illusion that we could somehow pay for all the stuff we were buying from them. Of course, we are still buying a whole lot of stuff from China, and we still have no way to pay for it. Maybe Obama thinks another bubble would be okay, or maybe he has a plan, or maybe he's too busy with other things. By the way, did that pig just sneeze? Ow! Go to pray2.com if you have a moment tonight and check out what he says on his website, pray2.com. Okay, what else we got here? We're going to take some calls here after this break at the bottom of the hour, so get ready. The number is 877-996-2556. Today, a federal appeals court said no to the Obama administration's assertion of secrecy and reinstated a lawsuit by five men. Federal appeals court reinstated this lawsuit by five men who say a Bay Area, San Francisco subsidiary of Boeing helped the CIA fly them to foreign countries to be tortured. A lawyer from Obama's Justice Department argued to the court in February that the issues surrounding the extraordinary rendition program were so sensitive that the very existence of the lawsuit threatened national security. Oh, Christ, not this again. That's the same position, of course, the Bush administration took several months ago and persuaded a federal judge in San Jose to dismiss the suit. But the plaintiffs got it reinstated. In today's ruling, the Ninth U.S. Circuit in San Francisco said the government and the company could take steps to protect national secrets as the case proceeded. The suit should be dismissed only if secret information is essential for the plaintiffs to prove their case or for the Bay Area company to defend itself, the court said. Now, you know who sits on the U.S. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco. Isn't that where Jay Bybee, the guy who wrote the torture memos, isn't that where his bony little ass now sits? I believe it is. Judge Michael Hawkins said in the 3-0 ruling, it was only, it wasn't the full court. Judge Michael Hawkins said, quote, according to the government's theory, that would be the Obama administration's theory, the judiciary should effectively cordon off all secret government actions from judicial scrutiny, immunizing the CIA and its partners from the demands and limits of the law, end quote. If that doesn't sound like what the Bush crime family tried to do and did it very effectively, you gotta wonder, don't you? Or maybe you don't. Why in the world would the Obama Justice Department be arguing for the same kind of psychopathology that infested our national security apparatus and our courts that the Bush crime family insisted on? Oh, gosh, it just makes my head hurt.
Ooh.
so you don't have to. It's More Mike Malloy.
It is 25 before the hour. Phone number here is 877-996-2556. John is calling from Somerset, Kentucky, listening to XM. Hey, John.
Hey, Mike. I just want to say, first-time caller, I really like your show when I'm awake to catch it.
Well, thanks.
You're welcome. I live in the belt buckle, the Bible Belt of Kentucky, and the Republican stronghold, the GOP of Kentucky. And I want to publicly apologize for Mitch McConnell, his stiff upper lip, because I'm messing with the horses out back. He doesn't reflect a lot of the views of people in Kentucky. Myself, I don't vote for him.
Yeah.
I'm what you call a conservative Democrat. I think it's, you know, ridiculous that they're doing this to, you know, our own Specter Amanda. I don't really know a lot about, but it seems like he's a halfway decent person. And as far as the session goes, I'm 29 years old. I very clearly remember the Reagan years.
Right.
What Bush has done the past 8 years as far as financially, Reagan wasn't this bad.
Reagan what?
I don't believe Reagan was actually this bad as far as, you know, the financial blunders.
Oh, no, I don't think any president in American history has been as bad as George W. Bush. Nobody, none of them. Democrat, Republican, or somebody they could have dragged in from, you know, the lower 40. Nobody has been as bad as George W. Bush. And as far as Mitch McConnell, you know, you don't have to apologize. We've got Saxby Chambliss.
I've heard of him, too.
I don't know, John. It's weird, but, you know, most Republicans treat politics in this country as a zero-sum game. In other words, there's no such thing as working for the better, to better the country. There's no such thing as working to take care of the myriad problems we have thanks to the Bush crime family. All there is this partisan politics, you know, is he one of us? He's not one of us. Well, you know, he can go to hell. It's crazy. It's crazy. The Republican Party, when I was a kid growing up, and the Democratic Party, when I was a kid growing up, while they were sure as hell a lot different from each other than they are now, but they still had the same, you know, mutual goal, and that was to build American empire, to push American capitalism around the world, whether people wanted it or not. But the point I'm trying to make is they worked together to do what they felt they had to do to the rest of the world. Now, I'm not praising the Democrats and Republicans from my childhood. I'm just saying that they worked together for what they saw as the good of the country, which was actually the good of corporate America and the war machine. But they worked together. Now, just like you point out, a guy who's devoted his life to the Republican Party and he decides he's had enough. And I'll tell you, the issue that frosted his butt was the stem cell issue. Mm-hmm. You know, here's a guy who's dealing with, you know, just staring cancer right in the face. The sort of cancer where stem cell research, had it begun, back when, you know, had the government financed it back when, it first started to, show some promise for genetic cures, Arlen Specter and hundreds of thousands of other people might have not had to go through what they went through. But, you know, it's God's will, I guess, that people be eaten up with cancer rather than, taking a fertilized egg that's heading for the toilet anyway and using the stem cell. So that was the issue that I think, finally broke Arlen Specter's back. But I hear go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead, Mike.
That's all. I was just going to say, you know, again, you don't have to apologize for Mitch McConnell. What a weird dude. But we've got Saxby Chambliss, so, you know.
Well, I was going to say myself, I'm a type 2 diabetic, which is non-insulin dependent.
Right.
And the stem cell research, I'm all for. I still have a few issues with it, but they're going to be discarded anyway. So what's the big uproar?
Well, that's the thing. Real live adult human beings or children who are struggling with genetic diseases versus a clump of cells in a petri dish someplace that's going to be flushed. I mean, that's not even a rational argument. So anyway, listen, John, thanks for checking out. Oh, by the way, you said you listen to my program when you're up. You know, you, if you subscribe to the podcast, pal, you can listen anytime you want.
I'm getting ready to do that, sir. I drive a team truck and I'm awake on and off throughout the week. So.
Well, just go to MikeMalloy.com. All the info's there. And thanks for checking in, John.
Thanks, Malloy.
All right, man. Take care. Brian, driving in Kansas, is listening on Sirius. Brian, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm okay.
I don't know. My beef was, I don't think that dude was really, you know, ever, well, he might have been a Republican at one time, but, you know, the last few votes, you know, with, you know, spending all this money spree, you know,
oh, no.
You know, he sure didn't stand up for the Republican Party.
Well, but don't you think he should stand up for the American people?
Well, if, you know, if everyone wants to pay high taxes for the next
generation. Wait a second. Obama just gave you a tax cut. What are you talking about?
Tax cut on what?
On your income, I guess. I don't know. You may not work.
The way I understand it, Social Security. You know,
what?
No. Deduction on your taxes.
Oh, I get it. You listen to Rush Limbaugh and
no, I don't. I don't listen to Rush.
And Glenn Beck.
Either one of them.
you really don't. Okay. Well,
I'd listen.
Who filled your head with that nonsense?
Huh?
Who filled your head with that nonsense?
The last time you voted. That's what it was.
Jesus.
You know? I mean.
Well, the last time who voted?
The dude that
Spector? I thought you were talking about your taxes were raised. I'm trying to tell.
I don't know. I'm waiting for them to be raised. They will when Bush's tax cuts expire. They'll go up.
Well, oh my God, I don't know where to start with you, Brian. I really don't. No, it's not funny. It's sad.
Yeah, it is.
The misinformation that's floating around in your head. First of all, when you say you don't like his last two votes, what were they?
On the this big spending bill that they.
All right. What's the spending bill about, Brian? What is it about?
Well, I don't know.
Well, let me try to give you an idea real quick what it's about. It's about the fact that over the past 8 years, the Bush administration bankrupted the country. It got us to the point where nobody has any jobs. Maybe you do. The only reason I'm working, my company went bankrupt. The company I work for, and I had to start my own. But you know, there are millions and millions and millions of people who have no jobs, their houses are going, they're losing their houses, they're losing their credit cards thanks to Bush crime family policies. I don't understand where you're coming from. I mean.
Well, you know, they're bailing out all these automotive, which, you know, Ford is.
Who's the good one
out of the bunch that never accepted.
Do you not read the papers? General Motors and Chrysler have been.
I don't.
You don't do any of that. Okay. Well, listen. Great. Listen. It's been great talking to you, Brian. Drive safely. Okay. Just drive safely.
I want to know if all these folks who get the stimulus money—not the stimulus money, but the recovery money from the administration—$250, $300, whatever it is—are they going to send it back? Are they going to throw tea bags on it and say?
I think it's more than that. I think it's $600, $1,200.
Well, I'm just talking about you get a check now. That's
yeah.
Coming,
well,
and then it'll be...
the ones who aren't hypocrites—all these tea baggers, all these Glenn Beck acolytes, you know, General Beck, who had everybody's. Panties moist about, you know, fight against government intrusion and bring your tea bag and so on and so forth. If they're not goddamn hypocrites, yeah, they'll just immediately draw a great big old black marker X through the check and send it back to the government saying, I don't want your goddamn money. Now, if they're hypocritic little slime balls, which most Republicans are out here in the rank and file, they will keep the check. And go spend it to pay off, you know, go to a casino someplace or go buy lottery tickets. I don't know. I can't.
And I'd like to know how anybody thinks that the government is spending currently too much money. These folks, I wonder if they had a problem with the billions and billions and billions of dollars we spend each month on torture and illegal invasions and unfounded pillaging of innocent countries.
You're asking Brian to do...
That's what bankrupted the country.
You're asking Brian to do something that Brian just chooses not to do or else incapable of doing. You heard what he said. He doesn't read the papers. He doesn't, I don't know where he gets his news. He listens to probably a lot of the right-wing talk on Sirius or XM. Sirius and XM are certainly no different in that respect from over-the-air broadcasting, with the right-wing garbage that you hear there, too. So I don't know where Brian is getting his point of view or assistance in forming his point of view, but God knows it's kind of weird, isn't it? We have two open lines, 877-996-2556. Jump right on in and get your feet wet.
Don't go to bed angry. Let Mike Malloy do it for you.
9 before the hour. This is the Malloy program. After the break at the top of the hour, I want to share something with you. It was written by Frank Schaefer. I did a atheist convention. I was one of the speakers a couple of weekends ago, and Frank Schaefer was one of the other speakers. One of several others, and got an email here, kind of an open letter to Republicans. Anyway, we'll do that when we come back. Jim is calling from Marietta, Oklahoma, listening on Sirius. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Mike. How are you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Doing fine. Hey, listen, I wanted to start out by saying, that last caller, Brian, I think Republicans just jizz them all over themselves thinking about people like that going to the voting booth, how misinformed can the public be? Anyway.
Well, I understand what you're saying. I really do. But I, understand what you're saying. But I'm not sure that's the proper way to say it, Jim. I get what you're saying, but all right. Jim tossed me a curve there, so All right, let's see. Who's up next? Do we have anybody else here? We have one open line. The phone number is 877-996-2556. If you would like to register your contempt and disgust for the Republican or the Democratic Party, too, for that matter. I've been looking at this letter from Frank Schaefer, the former Republican whose parents, he's the guy, I believe, Frank Schaefer, his parents are the ones who kind of started the religious right. He wrote a book called Crazy for God, How I Grew Up as One of the Elect and Helped Found the Religious Right and Lived to Take It All Back. He's a very interesting person if you meet him and meet him in person. But anyway, I want to share this letter with you when we come back. Nora is calling from Minnesota, listening on. How are you listening, Nora?
Hey, I'm on KTNF Radio.
That's right. That's
They're
right.
So kind to play you live because I can't afford a computer or pod or nothing.
Well, here you go.
I'm so happy, but I'm calling to say. When I saw that little gang of Cornyn and McConnell, that the pack of Republican senators looked like a horde of cornered rats when they heard about Arlen Specter or when they were being on the TV.
Yeah, they did. I got the same impression. What a dour looking bunch of robots. And the nerve of them to say the things that they were saying about how Arlen Specter single-handedly was going to destroy the Republican Party and destroy America because he switched parties. It was amazing, Nora.
He never follows any party anyway.
Who?
Arlen Specter. He just does what he wants. Well, he'll go for one party or the other always.
That's...
Did you hear about in 1965 when he turned to be a Republican to run for, to be a DA? He used to be a Democrat.
Oh, yeah?
But he had to, he had to tell a guy that was going to run, that ran the political machine there, that if he got him to win, he'd turn Republican for him. And that's what he did in 1965. Andrea Mitchell was telling about that today.
Oh, yeah? Well, you know, I don't think it makes a whole a lot of difference what party Arlen Specter is in. What does make a difference is the perception of a very clear reality. The reality is the Republican Party is dying. It is an anachronism. It doesn't belong in the 21st century. The perception of its death is hastened along or enhanced when you have people like Arlen Specter leaving the Republican Party, or anyone leaving the Republican Party who holds office in Washington D.C. It further explains.
He kind of was giving them the finger, right?
I know it's awful. They even eat their own, which is the Republicans do, which is not really a surprise. Republicans have no loyalty to anything except themselves. And they see the party as some way that they can climb over the corpses of everybody else and get done what they want done, which is, you know, really sick when you get down to it, Nora. Hey, listen, thanks. I got a boogie. I appreciate you checking in, Nora. KTNF. And bless KTNF for carrying the program. I'm so used to saying, listening on Sirius or listening on XM or listening on, online. All right, we have a break coming up here, so stick around. When we come back, this letter from open letter from former Republican Frank Schaefer to anyone who wants to hear it. I found it very interesting today, and I want to share it with you. So we'll do that when we come back and take more of your phone calls. Okay, stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. This is an open letter to Republicans from a former Republican, Frank Schaefer, whose parents were almost single-handedly responsible for giving birth to what has come to lovingly be called the religious right, you know, the crazy people. He also wrote a book, Frank Schaefer did, called Crazy for God. He has repudiated not just his Republican roots, but about 99% of the religious garbage that was pumped into his head. He writes an open letter here to Republicans. He says, "You Republicans are the arsonists who burned down our national home." Whoa! "You combined the failed ideologies of the religious right, so-called free market deregulation, and the neoconservative love of war to light a fire that has consumed America. Now you have the nerve to criticize the architect America just handled, hired President Obama to rebuild from the ashes? You do nothing constructive, just try to hinder the one person willing and able to fix the mess you created. I used to be one of you. As recently as 2001, I worked to get Senator McCain elected in that year's primary. McCain and General Tommy Franks wrote glowing endorsements regarding my book about military service, titled AWOL. I have a file of handwritten thank you notes from Presidents Ford, Reagan, Bush 1 and 2. In the 70s and early 80s, I hung out with Jack Kemp and bought into his supply-side myth and even wrote a book he endorsed, pushing his ideas. There's more, but take it from me. My parents, evangelical leaders Francis and Edith Schaefer, and I, were about as tight with and useful to the Republican Party as anyone. We played a big part creating the religious right. In the mid-1980s, I left the religious right after I realized just how very anti-American they are. They wanted America to fail in order to prove they were right about America's so-called moral decline. Soon after McCain lost in 2000, I re-registered as an independent in disgust with George W. Bush, but I still respected many Republicans. Not today. How can anyone who loves our country support the Republicans now? Barry Goldwater, William F. Buckley, and Ronald Reagan defined the modern conservatism that used to be what the Republican Party I belonged to was all about. Today, no actual conservative can be a Republican. Reagan would despise today's wholly negative Republican Party. And can you picture the gentlemanly and always polite Ronald Reagan endorsing a radio hate jock slob who crudely mocked a man with Parkinson's and who now says he wants an American president to fail? With people like Limbaugh as the loudmouth image of the Republican Party, you need no enemies. But something far more serious has happened than an image problem. The Republican Party has become the party of obstruction at just the time when all Americans should be pulling together for the good of our country. Instead, Republicans are today's fifth column, sabotaging American renewal. President Obama has been in office barely 45 days as I write this, and the Republican Party has the nerve to blame him for the economic and military cataclysm he inherited? I say economic and military cataclysm because without your needless war in Iraq you all backed, we would not be in the economic mess we're in today. If that money had been spent here at home on renovating our infrastructure, taking us toward a green economy, putting our healthcare system in order, we'd be a very different nation. As the father of a Marine who served in George W. Bush's misbegotten wars, let me say this. If President Obama's strategy to repair our economy, infrastructure, and healthcare fails, that will put our troops at far greater risk because the world will become a far more dangerous place. So for all you flag-waving Republicans who are trying to undermine the president at home, if you succeed, more of our troops will be killed abroad. When your new leader, Rush Limbaugh, calls for President Obama to fail, he's calling for more flag-draped coffins. Limbaugh is the new so-called Hanoi Jane. For the party that created our crises of misbegotten war, mismanaged economy, lack of regulation of our banking industry, handing our country to rich crooks, to obstruct the one person who's trying to repair the damage is obscene. Just imagine where America would be today if the 14 to 20 million voters, the Rube base, who slavishly follow the likes of Limbaugh, if they had not voted as a block year after year, thus empowering the Republican fiasco. We would have a regulated banking industry and would have avoided our current financial crisis. Some 4,000 of our killed military men and women would still be alive. Over 35,000 wounded Americans would be whole. We would have been leaders in the environmental movement. We would be in the middle of a green technology boom, fueling a huge expansion of our economy and stopping our dependence on foreign oil. And our health care system would be reformed. After Obama was elected, you Republican leaders had a unique last chance to send a patriotic message of unity to the world and to all Americans. You could have backed our president's economic recovery plan. Since we all know that half of our problems is one of lost confidence and perception, nothing would have done more to calm the markets and project resolve and confidence than if you had been big enough to take Obama's offered hand and had worked with him. Even if you disagreed ideologically, you had the chance to put our country first. You utterly failed to rise to the occasion. The worsening economic situation is your fault and your fault alone. The Republicans created this mess through 8 years of backing the worst president in our history. And now, because you put partisan ideology ahead of the good of the country, you have blown your last chance to redeem yourselves. You deserve the banishment to the political wilderness that awaits all traitors. Frank Schaefer. All right. I couldn't say it better myself, Frank. Yeah, it truly is incredible what the Republicans have done. And you know, every time I turn on Oberman or Rachel's program or any of these programs that have video of this raging, maniacal jackass rolling from side to side in his body fat while he screams into his microphone about, you know, Democrat this and Democrat that. And, you know, hey, when you leave the party, Arlen, take John McCain with you. In other words, this obese monster. Rush Limbaugh, I, the way the Republican politicians up to or down to, and including this uncle who now runs the Republican National Committee, when I see the way they bow and scrape to this obese bastard who sits in a studio somewhere and spews out his lies and this degenerate program of his. And I just think to myself, my God, how did it come to pass that this country has a piece of human waste like that who has absolute control over the Republican Party? Republican Party leadership doesn't go to the toilet without checking with Limbaugh first. I mean, they're the ones that made him an honorary member of the 100 and whatever it was House that convened, U.S. House of Representatives that convened in January of 1995, because between Limbaugh and Newt Gingrich, they had so corrupted our political system. Gingrich on the inside and Limbaugh on the outside, Mr. Inside and Mr. Outside. They corrupted it. They destroyed it. They turned it into a cheese ball fight of negative advertising and lies and weirdness. And out of it, they got, you know, they got 15 years of fun and frivolity to destroy the country. And son of a bitch, didn't they do a good job?
So I've done my time. Get down. I'll just keep talking truth and motherhood to Main Street and now the Aryan Brotherhood. And every time I mention that drugs ain't worth it, they credit me 6 months community service. Ha! Liberals! Don't you just love them? Yeah, I got my crew, in case you imagine you can mess with me in any fashion. You really think you're going to get a piece? I suggest you have a word with my man Maurice. Come over here, big fella.
Yeah, the big man's putting us on the map, so for all we care, he can yap, yap, yap. 14 hours a day, you can squeal and shout, just shut your pie hole when the lights go out.
Here's my firm and unyielding belief.
Hey, shut up, man!
Now just to make sure you don't miss my point, I'm not closing down just cause I'm in the joint. Friends and fans across the fruited plain, fear not, for I shall rise again. Next time with a little more empathy for the dregs and the druggies like you. And me, I suppose.
The Mike Malloy Show. Talk radio matters here.
yeah, it does, doesn't it? 21 past the hour. Gotta love this job. Ralph is driving through Michigan, listening on XM. Hey, Ralph.
Hey, Brother Mike. I'm getting a little bit of an echo, so I'm going to try to talk through it here. I hope you can hear me.
I can hear you just fine.
All right, sir. First of all, I got to say thank you. You make my overnight drives. You fill me with rage. I'm a liberal and a Democrat, and I just don't think enough people are mad enough. And I appreciate having a voice like yours to listen to that. It gives voice to everything I'm feeling.
Well, I appreciate the empathy. What do you do? Are you a long-distance driver?
I'm a stand-up comic.
Oh.
And I play colleges, and then I drive to the next town. And,
right.
You know, right now I'm coming back from I live in Rochester, New York, but I'm coming back from a school in Upper Michigan.
Yeah.
And, one of the things about my job is that I'm constantly on the road. I have a lot of time during the day to interact with people, and I talk to people. And one of the things I'm identifying about people who declare themselves conservatives or on the right. Or whatever they want to call themselves. It's a lot of small town. It's a lot of religious type folks who get all their social interaction through their place of worship, and I don't think that's intrinsically bad. It can depend on what kind of message is being given at the pulpit, but also
look at
the states that are red. They're all these very sparsely populated places, and there's no diversity. There's no ethnic diversity. There's no cultural diversity. So these folks don't really ever get a chance to have a conversation where you can give them the opposite viewpoint of something that they may hold dear, whether it's feelings about abortion or feelings about stem cell research or feelings about gun control or any of the classic social issues that the right waves their flag around. There's not anyone to stand there and go, well, what about this point? Have you considered this? And and I'm wondering what your take is on it. I do what I can from the pulpit that I have. I have to do it a funny way when I talk about it on stage. But what can we do as progressives, as liberals, as clear thinkers? How can we, outside of, let's say, moving out of our blue states or blue communities and trying to infiltrate small town America and really sit down and talk to people, let them get to know us as people, and we're not demons. We're not, like Reagan put the smell on the word liberal. So now it's almost like a lot of liberals don't even want to be identified that way.
Well, let me see if I can answer it for you, Ralph, on the air here. Listen, thanks for checking in. And if you ever play Atlanta, give me a call and get me some free tickets, all right? All right, Ralph. First of all, moving out of our comfortable blue states, I live outside of Atlanta, Georgia, so I don't have that particular problem. The way I look at educating right-wingers and red state dwellers and religious freaks is you can't. It's kind of like an alcoholic or a drug addict. They keep spiraling down and down and down until they've lost everything. And some, when they hit that point, will start to climb back out of the hell they've created themselves. And some don't. Some just keep going until they, you know, die on the side of the road somewhere or in a flop house somewhere. I look at conservatives or the religious right the same way, exactly the same way. They are taking junk into their veins, whether it is their political ideology that is, you know, all chopped up and you know, put in the spoon and heated up. And you can almost see Limbaugh, at least I can, every day, and Glenn Beck and the rest of these pushers. You can see them put the needle tip in there and pull back on the plunger and suck it up into the syringe. And then everybody turns on the radios at noon, and in it goes. So as far as I know, I just made a bunch of junkies have an orgasm with that one, but or former junkies. But to me, that's what the religious right and the religious the political right, they're exactly the same thing as addicts. And there's no way you can save them. How, you know, how many people have crashed up against brick wall after brick wall, trying, you know, taking pity on a family member, a spouse, a son or daughter, a friend down the street who is an addict, a complete junkie, a complete lost soul. I mean, you know, that's what 12-step programs are for. If you believe in 12-step programs, because the political right, the religious right, they're drug addicts, and that's all they live for is the next hit.
Here we go now, keep it lowbrow, get stupid, cause I know how, check my brain in, be an idiot, act lame in, stay ignorant, be remedial, wear the dunce cap, slouch over and droop like a hunchback, don't discuss things, shout the last word, put your good sense out the pasture, drop your IQ, that's what I do, my advice to girls and guys who want to be a Nobel Prize finalist. Rocket scientist, try applying this. Keep the customers coming around. If you're smart, then you better start dumbing it down. Don't say anything too profound. Dumb it down.
It's Mike Malloy.
Understand me, I feel strongly. I want you to be free with me.
It's about 25 before the hour. D&D says Republicans are alcoholics, huh? I say we buy them all the booze they want and then drown them in a bathtub. Boy, some of you people are just merciless, you know? You really are. You don't have any compassion for your fellow Americans, these Republicans. Shame, shame, shame. Our Southern Fairfield County, Connecticut Bureau Chief, Charles. Yeah, we still have bureau chiefs. That's from the good old days. All right, Mike, while I knew the topic is not being bothered with, as has essentially been dismissed as a whoops, there is something regarding the photo op flyover of the jet and the fighter plane so low in New York City yesterday that simply cannot add up correctly. Now that the secret is out that it was a photo op, what was it a photo op of? The Statue of Liberty? You do not need to fly in its face to get a good picture of it. There are millions of stock photos already. Was it a photo of supposedly Air Force One? We have plenty of pictures of that as well. So, a photo of Air Force One flying by the Statue of Liberty? Could be, but the angle, the level, the terms, the overall behavior of the plane, people merely looking up in the sky saw yesterday states clearly, I don't think so. Plus, with so many pictures of both available, if a need for Air Force One flying in front of the Statue of Liberty is needed, any decent graphic artist can Photoshop an extremely realistic-looking rendition. But What if we were to seriously be looking into what really happened September 11, 2001? Would it not make sense to send up a commercial airliner in the area and have it fly around like it did then, like it did yesterday? That makes a hell of a lot more logic to me than the photo op claim. I base this on absolutely nothing, but if I'm wrong, show me the photos, please. Charles. Well, I'd like to join you in that particular thought, Charles, but I don't think so. Who was it? Secretary of the Army or somebody who, a civilian who ordered that flight? I haven't really been following that story because obviously someone in the Pentagon is going to be joining the lines of the unemployed here fairly quickly. This is one of those stories that you just wonder what kind of a diphthong made that kind of a decision to fly a commercial jet round and round the skies of Manhattan and what appeared to be in close pursuit an Air Force fighter. I mean, what kind of a brain-dead moron does that? Obviously, a civilian, maybe a holdover from the Bush crime family, who is trying to sabotage even further the Obama administration. I don't know. We'll watch and report. All right. Thanks, Charles. Hank is driving in Maryland, listening on XM. Hey, Hank.
Hey, Mike. Good to hear from you and. Wanted to say thank you for doing what you do and making my nighttime drive a lot more pleasant. Well, what I was talking about was the idea that we, as a society, we seem to be balkanizing ourselves into, you know, little tribes, and the way the Republicans told Arlen Specter off today is a pretty good sample of that. He's not our tribe anymore, so therefore we'll kick him to the curb, and he's a lousy person and a horrible thing, and we don't want him anymore.
Yeah.
And we used to be Americans. I don't know whatever happened, man. Now we're all hyphenated Americans, you know? Everybody's got a name and a hyphen. Anyway, that was my original thought. But I also wanted to mention that that flyover thing, that was Air Force One, or one of the Air Force One airplanes.
Yeah.
About four of them. And it's really more of a catch-22 than it was, admittedly, a kind of a boneheaded idea, but they cleared it with the FAA. The FAA informed all of the usual suspects in the, you know, in the administration in New York City. The problem is, if somebody along the line said, "Hey, this is classified information. We can't tell anybody about this," so it was kept secret, which was really dumb. I mean, you know, it's like you say, if you're going to be flying a large aircraft around
right.
Manhattan,
right.
being chased by an F-16. It would be a good idea to let people know what's going on. Anyway, that's pretty much all I got to say.
All right. Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate your saying it, Hank. Yeah, as far as what Hank was talking about, the balkanization of our political system, how did it happen? Well, like I mentioned right before I took his call, you know, two words, Newt and Limbaugh. Newt Gingrich, back in when he was organizing the so-called Republican Revolution, the result of which brought just a whole clutch of unqualified Republicans into the Congress, into the House of Representatives. When he was engineering that, Newt Gingrich had, and we've talked about this on this program many times, had his so-called word list, words that these incipient Republican drone heads were supposed to use to describe Democrats. And it was everything from unpatriotic to America haters to using words like negative and mean-spirited and hate-filled. And so if ever there was somebody who belonged as the Minister of Disinformation in the Soviet Union or the Third Reich, it would be this puffy-headed Newt Gingrich, a guy who, you know, a guy who, during his attack on Clinton and Clinton's girlfriend, Newt Gingrich was married and had his girlfriend. Only Newt's girlfriend was on the public payroll. She worked on an agricultural subcommittee in the House, and Newt was shtupping her while Bill Clinton was doing a little oral sex or a little hand sex with Monica. So Newt Gingrich, to me, represents just the rotten, maggot-encrusted underbelly of the Republican Party. Having gotten to know this twit here in the Atlanta area over the course of a miserable 20 years, I can tell you, you know, Newt likes to position himself as a college professor, sort of intellectual. He's about as intellectual as a goddamn red cap mushroom. There's no intellect there. He's an ideologue, and strictly an ideologue. All of his ideas have to do with bringing money into Newt Gingrich's bank account. The guy is a shill. He's a jerk. But that's the quick answer to the question, how do we become balkanized? You know, until Gingrich, I never heard of using wordless phrases, things to memorize that you would use to describe anyone who was not a right-wing leaning Republican. It was astonishing. As much as I have had contempt for Republicans for the past, 30 or 40 years, there were occasions when I would meet a Republican or hear a Republican politician who actually had a good idea or a well-thought-out point of view. And it wasn't until Newt, until 94 and 95, that I realized that American politics, the American political system, had entered into a death spiral. There was no way out of this. Democrats and liberals could sit around and think about the cliched kumbaya, that we're all in this together horse crap until we turn blue in the face. It doesn't matter. Gingrich and Limbaugh have destroyed utterly and totally the political system in this country. It's gone. It's absolutely gone. Now, the unintended consequence of all this has to do with the hubris of Newt Gingrich, is the actual death of the Republican Party. It is a stinking corpse now that just doesn't realize it's dead. It is a zombie party. The Democratic Party is going to take over as the right-center corporate party in American politics. The Republicans are going to go the way of the Whigs and the Know-Nothings and the Bull Moose Party. They're dead meat. The Democratic Party will become the new center-right party in American politics. And it's up to us in the grassroots who still believe in liberal political thought or progressive political thought to put together a party to challenge the center-right party that will be the Democrats. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. Ten before the hour, thanks to our crew. The program was produced and engineered by Kathy Bay. technically advised by Ben Birch, our military affairs correspondent, Sharon Gordy, and our economic affairs correspondent, Bruce Enberg. Bob Alexander and Bridget Wolf are the program's ethical advisors. Geez, I just had a thought. How soon before Susan Collins and Olympia Snowe, two senators from Maine, both of whom are Republicans, it's astonishing that Maine has Republic. Well, Collins and Snowe are not what you would call right-wing Republicans. Oh, I know. I'm familiar with their voting records, the same as you are. But how soon do you think it'd be? A week or two before they leave the swamp and join the real center-right corporate party of America, the Democrats? And it is. Come on. You know it is. Oh, my God. Anybody who is not aware that the party of Barack Obama, and I'm not complaining, I'm just saying, the party of Barack Obama is center right in American politics. It is in its decisions, its evaluations, its positions on the issues, what it seeks funding for. It is a center right party. It is not center left. Now, I realize that Republicans try to paint the Obama administration as being directly linked to some global socialist conspiracy. Real liberals and progressives pretty much point out the obvious truth that Obama is no more of a liberal than Arlen Specter is. So Specter is just doing what I think Republican office holders who don't want to any longer be forced to suck up to the image of Rush Limbaugh and the neo-Nazi right. And they've decided, look, I want to be with the party in America that most people are now adhering to, no, clinging to for some sort of salvation. By the same token, I don't want to leave my corporate sponsors, and I certainly don't want to be considered a liberal. So what's left? The Democratic Party. It's a perfect fit. If there is ever to be a liberal party or a progressive party in this country again, it's up to liberals and progressives to build one, right? Right. Keith is calling from Centralia, Illinois, listening on XM. Hey,
hello,
Keith.
Hello, Mike.
Hi.
Greetings from behind enemy lines in southern Illinois.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty miserable down there, I know.
Yeah. I've been listening to you for like 4 years, decided to work up the nerve and call you up, said what the heck. I was listening to you talking about not being able to convert right-wingers, and I sadly think you're right about that. I've been trying to talk some sense in my poor old 73-year-old dad's head since, for the last 4 years at least. Basically, he's just, they say, he's just sits there and watches the news all day. And he's not, and I say, he's not watching the news. He's watching Fox News.
Yeah, that's a shame. You know, there's an exception to my analogy of addicts. And that's people who are getting up in years, like apparently your dad is.
Mm-hmm.
And they've just become entrenched. That's all. I don't want to paint older Americans with the same brush that I paint these slimy right wingers. A lot of older Americans just simply, you know, your dad probably remembers the day when the Republican Party was not what it is now.
He used to be a Democrat. That's the thing. I remember, in the 70s. Both my mom and dad saw themselves as sort of liberal to middle of the roaders.
Right.
Then sometime in the 70s, I was at ground zero of the whole evangelical born-again movement.
Oh.
And You know, I was a good little Baptist, you know, good little pot-smoking, you know, premarital sex heaven Baptist, you know, until I finally, I don't know, 20 years ago, just had the guts to, you know, not worry about the whole hell thing and just say, this is what I really think.
I hear you.
I had to break off, but I had to, it's just like my whole family is like pod people, and I'll just hate Bill O'Reilly till the day he dies.
I hear that loud and clear, and I understand exactly what you're saying. You know, I've said before, I am just so relieved that my mom, who died at age of 89 5 years ago, was a lifelong Democrat. I never had to get into any tussles with her about her political beliefs versus mine. She was a Roosevelt Democrat from the get-go. On the other hand, my old man, I have no idea what he was. He was kind of sullen and reserved when he wasn't being violent. So, but my mom, who certainly molded my political beliefs, pretty much by example, not so much by rhetoric, because my mother was not an activist. She was too busy trying to support four children and a husband who had crawled into some kind of a space where nobody else was allowed. But her politics were such that I never had to get into that kind of intergenerational chaos that exists in so many, so many families. Listen, thanks a lot for hanging out with me tonight. I appreciate it. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.